Everybody, thank you to the library for providing us a nice place to have a meeting. My name's Grant Westerson. I'm filling in for our boss, Paul Weitzgraver. He was unavoidably detained from coming. I'm vice chair. So let me call the meeting to order and do a roll call and see if we can actually have a meeting. Myself, James Donegan. Gaffney Desfresco, David Kouros, Sally Cruz,
Here.
David Porroyo, Thomas Gill, Kirti Patel, Paul Hinch, Doug DeLena, Mayor Passero or Felix Reyes, John Johnson,
Here.
Harry Reiling, Robert Mezzo, Kaylee Moran, Kristen Urbeck, Paul Weitzgraver, no, Tom Patton, Christine Zanellis. Do we have a quorum? Okay, welcome, Paul.
Good morning. Thank you.
How's the count, Jill?
We've got one more.
Okay, super. Okay, pursuant to Section 15-31AN of the General Statutes of Connecticut, for the purposes of evaluating the adequacy of the state's maritime policies, facilities, and support for maritime commerce and industry, we have a annual public hearing. We did the roll call. And let me just ask Mike to come up, take the podium, get me out of the way, and have a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant. Good morning. I'm Mike O'Connor. I'm the Executive Director of the Connecticut Port Authority. We will share the screen with a short presentation. Our last public hearing was in December. Our last public hearing was in December. It's kind of a busy time of year for everybody to be engaged, and we felt it was appropriate to move it to the months where there's more activity on the water. And last year's venue was the Southern Connecticut State University. And this year's venue is along the river here in Westport at the Westport Public Library. We're also being displayed on CTN's broadcast, so you'll be able to watch this afterwards. And appreciate the team at CTN hosting this on their site so that more people could be exposed to the Connecticut Port Authority. So we provide guidance, resources, and advocacy for things that go along the water in the state of Connecticut. And, our mission is to grow the maritime economy. Annual public hearing is a part of that. I'll describe what we've been up to on the next slide, Jill. What progress we've made in 2026, what we expect the rest of the year to look like. And then we're going to get to the public hearing part where certainly take your questions, hear your comments and your perspectives. And, if you've identified things that we could factor into future use of our ports, that would be appreciated. Next slide. So for 2026 staffing, roughly the same as 2025 staffing. Jill is our office manager sitting up front. Our finance director's in the back of the room today. I have two community liaisons. Anthony Afriye is here with us, and Melissa is on vacation, so he's not able to join us. We also have two interns in the room. Caleb and Connor are joining us from two different universities. We'll have a third intern this summer when Luke is freed up from his tour of duty at Massachusetts Maritime Academy. Great opportunity to see what goes on in Connecticut for the next generation of people working on our ports and infrastructure. Next slide. We do a lot of marketing, communications, and really, if you look around the state, some people are aware of the Connecticut Port Authority, some are aware of the Port Authority and not sure what it does. And some people are not aware of the Port Authority, and that's where we want to spend most of our time, is making people aware and connecting people and collaborating. We have Mintz and Holk. They were essential in upgrading our website, which is a lot of functionality built into that. But we've also contracted them to be the communication arm for our EPA grant that we have at the New London State Pier, which is to install shore power with a mobile cable positioning system. On the website, you'll see that we've created a business directory. Anybody who wants to be noted on the business directory, if you can't find yourself there, it's very searchable, but there's a link you can click on to add yourself to the business directory. Just contact us through that link and we'll get you added pretty quickly. But you can also use that business directory to search for other businesses that you want to connect with in the state, or other businesses that are similar to yours to collaborate with. For the Small Harbor Improvement Program, that's SHIP, we did the applications through the website on SHIP Round 5. That worked out very well. We opened that up in February, made some decisions in March, and we granted approximately $3.6 million worth of funds to municipalities and private entities for help out with dredge sampling. And a lot of infrastructure is going to get put in place in Connecticut because of that grant. We still have about $1.6 million in that fund that can be authorized to municipalities. So there'll be a opening of that grant application in September to continue that program. You can contact the Connecticut Port Authority on our website if you'd like one of us to speak at an event, participate in something, or you want more information about something that has to do with the maritime economy. You can click on a link and fill out that form, and our response time's pretty quick. We'll get right back to you and see what you're interested in and help you out. FTZ stands for Foreign Trade Zones. There are four in the state, one at each of the deepwater port locations in Bridgeport, New Haven, and New London. The interesting part about the New London Foreign Trade Zone is over the last 4 years, it was expanded from a space at the State Pier to the entire county of New London. So there's a lot of opportunity to maximize the use of foreign trade zones in the state. If there was more interest in using the foreign trade zones in the Bridgeport or New Haven area, similar efforts could be undertaken to expand the reach of those foreign trade zones, as it does provide great financial flexibility to people who bring products in from overseas for use in their manufacturing, and people who manufacture things that are going out overseas, extremely helpful for tariffs and duty management. We just put up a tourism page. Make sure people are aware of what types of things along the coast for maritime tourism you can go and check out. If, again, you have a business that is involved in tourism and you want something added to that page, please contact us and we'll get it up there. And recently we added a ship tracker. So you can go click on Long Island Sound or New Haven or New London, and it'll take you to the marine traffic website, and it'll zoom in on the area that you picked, and it'll show you what kind of ship traffic's going in and out of that port. All of that is generated from the AIS system on board a ship. So if the ship doesn't have AIS, you won't see it. That would be true for my 19-footer. But if it does have AIS, like most of the tugboats, the ferry boats, a lot of pleasure craft, and the cargo ships that come in and out, you will see that on the ship tracker. And we encourage everybody to connect with us on LinkedIn and Facebook. We regularly post information about the state's maritime activities and Connecticut Port Authority on that website, so it's a good source of information. Next slide. All right. We're constantly involved in engagement with our shoreline partners. We will become members of local community groups, chambers of commerce, and the like. We're event sponsors where we can provide that benefit to local agencies. Last year, we sponsored the September New London Maritime Heritage Festival. We're going to do that again this year. That's a 2-day event in New London at the City Pier. that highlights a lot of maritime activity and maritime heritage in New London. We're engaged in industry organizations like the American Association of Port Authorities and the North Atlantic Ports Association. We just hosted the North Atlantic Ports Association meeting in New London 2 weeks ago. Port operators from Canada down to Virginia came to New London, toured the harbor, and got a chance to talk about issues amongst all the port operators on the eastern coast in the North Atlantic. Municipal and business leaders will come to your town. We'll engage your leadership, your economic development leaders, first selectmen and mayors, and make sure that the capabilities of the Port Authority are known, understood, and where we can help make connections, we can do that. And then we're starting two programs for grants using the resources of the Port Authority. One's heavily focused on education, so any maritime education programs that engage the next generation of mariners in the coastline, and then infrastructure and help for tourism and preservation activities will be another community-focused grant that we're working on. You'll see more about those grants over the next few months. The education grant's currently posted for public comment. And after 30 days, we'll be providing that to the board of directors to get that approval. Next slide. I talked about the Small Harbor Improvement Project program. We did make awards in Ship Round 5. Ship Round 6 will be in September. And then we're working with the state legislature, who's indicated a high need to continue this program. The legislation kind of falls off. There will be some funding left in the legislation that currently exists, but then we need to make sure that we know what the operating parameters are and put the legislation in place in the January session so that that can be continued. The focus of the Small Harbor Improvement Program was to make sure that the Connecticut Port Authority can do something for municipal infrastructure over the course of time. Not just be focused on the deep water ports in the state. And we'll be prepared to help the legislature out with the parameters that need to go into the 2027 legislation. That was started in 2016 at $5 million per year. And $5 million does not do as much in 2027 as it did in 2016. So that'll be certainly one of the topics. For the municipalities that understand how to utilize that grant program and plan for its use in their towns, it's greatly successful in helping leverage community dollars to get infrastructure done in the town. Next slide. We have a lot of ongoing activities. New London State Pier operations. Currently, the pier is leased out to Ørsted for another 7 years. They can lease it for another 7 years after that, but the vision was to install offshore wind components from that pier, which it was designed to do and is doing a great job. The third of three projects is being constructed right now. South Fork was done and completed in 2024. That was 12 wind turbines off the coast of Long Island that feeds Long Island. That wind project's complete and operational and doing quite well. The Revolution Wind project was largely installed. They put 60 out of the 65 towers into serve in place. That finished in February. They will end up putting five more turbines in over time, and they have started to power Rhode Island from that facility. And all those turbines will go into a substation in Rhode Island, which serves the New England grid. And then the Sunrise Wind project was scheduled to start, so that's why they shifted over to that 84-turbine project. That 84-turbine project wind lease area is a little bit south of Revolution Wind lease area in the Atlantic Ocean, and that system will be plugged into the center of Long Island in the Ronkonkoma region through a cable that'll run along the south coast of Long Island from the wind lease area, so that'll help out Long Island's power demands. The vision was that other wind lease areas would be constructed from the state pier. However, there's not a lot of other wind lease area construction being planned for the immediate future. If we have the ability to support another wind lease area, then the pier would be used for that. If we're notified that there is no takers for that, then we'll immediately shift to work with Instructure. Instructure is our marine terminal operator at the port. By the way, they just announced yesterday that they're merging with Logistec, so their footprint is growing, and we'll rely on them in discussion with the Port Authority on what we can use the state pier for next while there's no wind going on. What we don't want is an idle pier. And so there's opportunities to start doing wind and something else as soon as 12 months from now. We sponsored a federal grant through the Maritime Administration for port infrastructure development for the Buckeye Groton Fuel Oil Terminal. We did that last September 1st and were notified this year that that grant was not successful. The reason the grant was not successful is because there were $3 billion worth of grant applications submitted to the federal government for improvement to different ports across the country, and they were able to award $800 million worth of funding. So we were able to reapply by the June 1st deadline, so they're on the list for next year. We did get feedback that it was a very good application and very strong submittal. However, when you're only working with so many dollars, then there's a cut line somewhere, and we were below the cut line last time. We did make some improvements. Buckeye changed the structure of grant applications, so they were contributing more money for a slightly larger project. So we'll know the results of that in the next 6 months. We're implementing a EPA Clean Ports grant at the State Pier for shore power, like I said earlier. Cable positioning systems will be mobile. We'll be able to store those in a warehouse when they're not in use, but when a ship can use them, there's an 11,000 volt system that will be able to power large cargo ships and supply the crane support that's on board, so they don't have to run their engines. And then there's a low voltage system that can supply everything else. We do have four commercial fishermen leasing pier space on the non-wind side of the New London State Pier. That's historical. That's been used as a commercial fishing pier for a long time, and it continues. We're working with those four commercial fishermen to see if there's opportunities to even host more fishermen at the pier, so that's working out very well. At Fort Trumbull, Pier 7 has been in existence for quite a long time, is in need of some maintenance, and we're working with the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to see if we can work with them and get their approval to manage an improvement project at that pier. It needs to be renovated, and there's a potential to add shore power to that pier to host medium-sized Navy vessels. Right now, the Eagle's been docking there, but the future plans for the Eagle are to dock closer to the new Coast Guard Museum at the City Pier. And then most recently, the legislature took action to create a freight working group. That working group is going to be chaired by myself as the executive director of the Connecticut Port Authority. The goal of the working group is to look at policy changes in the state of Connecticut or incentives that could be applied to improve the use of freight rail, the sea lanes, and our ports to move freight around Connecticut to alleviate some of the traffic on I-95 coming out of New York, and to make our roadways less impacted by freight traffic, and to manage municipal solid waste better. That was a key component of the need for a working group. The commissioners of the Department of Education, Department of Environmental Economic Development, Economic and Community Development, DECD, DOT, and DEEP will all be on that board with me. We'll convene that working group. We're allowed to invite others, so I'm interested in other working partners that have some ideas about what policy changes would be beneficial and where we can maximize the legislative actions that would need to take place in January to help out this part of the industry. Next page. Wouldn't be a Port Authority meeting if we didn't talk about dredging. I equate dredging of our navigation channels to blacktopping our roadways, which we invest a great deal of money in every year. to be able to travel around the state. But we need to come into Connecticut's ports safely. We need to have the access. So last October, we did the maintenance dredging in New Haven Harbor, which restored the channel depth to 35 feet. There were a lot of shallow spots that was holding off ships at low tide. And we were happy to see that that was able to get done in October. It was being held off because there's also an improvement project going on in New Haven Harbor. The improvement project's going to deepen the channel to 40 feet, make the channel another 100 feet wider, and improve the size of the federal turnaround basin in the harbor. That work starts in October. The two were separated so that we can move a lot of material out before the start of that project. So this part of the project will move 4.2 million cubic yards of material out of the harbor. It sounds like a lot of material, but there's ports in the country that routinely move between 50 and 100 million cubic yards of material just to keep their ports open. The next on the Stony Creek maintenance dredging was also done last year. In Bridgeport and Black Rock channels, those will get done in 2029 and 2030. They're being planned now. We're talking about channels that haven't been dredged in 15 to 20 years. So the frequency is not great, not as great as some other states that I just described, or the need's not as great, but the timing's off. This is a case where we should have got to these sooner, because it is limiting some ship traffic there now. And then the Port Authority would like to plan for the future management. We're working with the Corps to map out the restoration of all of the other channels, including the Connecticut River, over the next 5 years. Businesses have requests for federal channels to be opened up. And one of the greatest impediments, of course, is the quality of the material that needs to be dredged. Next slide. So there's a picture of our 30 federal navigation channels in the state. I wouldn't have guessed that there were 30, but there are. And I would say about a third of them are exactly where we want them to be. And there's probably a third that need more immediate attention. And then the remaining third can come as a secondary plot to get make sure we have the water depth that we want. Next slide. The state of Connecticut planned for a $3 million grant several years ago to the Corps for planning assistance to states. They're studying to locate future dredge material. They're beginning their public outreach now. They're selecting some areas where CAD cells might be appropriate to store material that is not suitable for open water discharge. That's a problem because if you don't have something like a confined aquatic discharge cell to put the material in, the cost of disposal on land can get very high very fast. And it can be millions of dollars. And to our Connecticut businesses, that's not where the best use of our money is. The beneficial use options that are being developed include impoundments on the shoreline and some restoration activities, specifically at Faulkner Island, in just off the coast of Connecticut in Long Island Sound. So there's been some erosion of that wildlife preserve, and there's an opportunity to put that island back to the way that it was and store some material there. The public outreach is very important. We just did a public hearing a few weeks ago on the Bridgeport Channel CAD cell that they would need. And then based on feedback about impacted moorings from one of the CAD cell locations, the Corps changed the location of where the CAD cell is going to go. And I think based on public feedback, the Corps made an improvement to their plan, and it'll probably cost less and be more beneficial to the harbor for the new location they selected, which is right in the channel. Now, they did acknowledge that if you put the CAD cell right in the channel, if you ever want to deepen the channel again, you're going to have to go into that area. But it's known and it's categorized, and it can be planned for. So we're going to go forward with that plan instead. Next slide. You can see priorities continue for this year. Focus on dredging. The logistics and freight operations are very important. I don't want to bring a container ship in Connecticut. We don't have the water depth, port capacity, or the infrastructure to do that. But there are ways to move cargo into Connecticut without bringing a 23,000 container ship into the harbor. We will continue to pursue federal grants. We're getting good at mapping out a calendar on when those grants come up annually and make use of them and support others that can make use of them. But specifically, the federal grant cycle is great for improving things that are already in service. They're not good for a startup business. So if somebody wants to start a business in Connecticut, the federal grant process is not the vehicle. But then people who want to start businesses in Connecticut along the coast should engage us into what help they need and what they're trying to do to be successful. We will help where we can. We are definitely going to continue the Small Harbor Improvement Program grant. Municipalities are doing well with that, and they're doing all the work. We're just helping them out with some of the funding for it. And every community that wants to do that work knows best what's best for their community. Our engagement continues. We've been to many different venues, Harbor Management Commission meetings, public meetings, legislative events, Council of Small Towns, Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. We'll go wherever the people are that want to talk about what they want to do in the maritime business. And then big focus as we go through the end of the year and see what the future is for the state pier will be to make sure that we've got a good plan there to make use of it. On the next slide. So any questions before we continue on from anybody either online or in the audience? Jeff Stedman, do you have a question? I don't know. The Corps owes me an answer on who's the, you're talking about the non-federal sponsor. So we were the non-federal sponsor for the New Haven Improvement Project, probably because of its cost. The non-federal share of that $75 million project was $17 million, and that was done through Connecticut State Bond Commission. Similarly, Bridgeport and BlackRock have an enormous millions of dollars in disposal costs and could possibly be an avenue for allowing excess capacity to be built in to make sure that local businesses could make use of it. So I don't know if that was the driver for it or not.
Possibly behind federal local sponsor for those projects as well, or
I'm not sure. I did specifically ask that question of the Corps. They do have guidelines for who can act as the non-federal sponsor. I suppose if I raise my hand and volunteer, I could be the non-federal sponsor for anybody. But we'll follow the Corps' guidelines until there's a challenge somewhere else, or there's a statewide opportunity to help with that equation.
They're able to hear you.
Oh, I can. The question was what made us the non-federal sponsor for Bridgeport and BlackRock Harbors? Thanks. Anthony, was that what you were going to tell me? Thank you. Other questions? All right. In public hearing space, we're certainly interested in feedback. Concerns, priorities. Anybody have any comments on that? Yes, ma'am. You can.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Linnell Jones. My address is 10 Point Road, Norwalk, Connecticut. Thank you for your fair and complete review of all SHIP grants awarded. Reimbursement should follow municipalities doing what they proposed, what was approved by the Connecticut Port Authority. Only if that is the case will reimbursements be in line with approved harbor management plans, something you understand. Your SHIP grant program resulted in a $3.5 million grant to Norwalk for Veterans Park, in addition to a $44,000 grant to open abandoned Norwalk street ends for public access. Review before reimbursement is requested for both grants, whose whose compliance has been locally questioned in Norwalk. Questions regarding both of these grants at the municipal level in Norwalk by concerned residents have been ignored. Your role, your vision, your mission, and your guiding principles is critical to protecting the domain of the public trust. Many Norwalk municipal leaders and appointed volunteers do not understand protection of the domain of the public trust differs from the concept of public trust. Thank you for your support, the support you have given all harbor commissions in Connecticut as development in coastal flood zones transfers future risks to all taxpayers from developers, something Circa has identified as a serious concern given all of Connecticut is part of the Long Island watershed. Again, thank you via your ship grant program for all the support you have shared with both large and small harbors. Thank you for fair and complete review of all ship grants. Thank you.
Thanks for those comments. You know, for the ship grant process, just so everybody's aware, we streamlined the application process to be online so that we weren't dealing with a lot of paper and made the review process simpler and the review time shorter, because when somebody applies for a grant, you really want to know what the result is and see if you can get moving. We place a high priority on grants for projects that are going to get finished in the near term, not something that's going to happen over the next 5 years. When you get closer to being able to implement a project, that's when you should apply. And then each grantee signs a contract with us that has the requirements laid out for reimbursement of funds at the appropriate time. We are spending money that belongs to the state, people of the state of Connecticut, when we issue the grants. The Port Authority's money that we spend to do everything that we do, that all belongs to the people of the state of Connecticut. So the transparency needs to be high. And if you apply for something, that's the something that will get reimbursed. Just do what you said you were going to do. The other simple part of the process that I think we've made an improvement on is if for some reason you can't implement the grant that you applied for, and there could be many of those reasons, simply call us up and say you don't want the grant anymore. Previously, that grant money used to go back to the bond commission, but since the bond commission is already granted to us, we are the holders of the money that was not utilized. We're the holders of the money that might not have been needed, because you may have applied for a $400,000 grant and only needed $380,000 when you were all done with your project. The rest of that money that was unused or not accepted goes back into that pool and allows us to open up another round of ship grant opportunities for people that are ready. So it's a much simpler process to reuse that money. And if you have to deny a grant and come back and apply for something different, well, then that's the best path for following all the requirements. Thanks. Other questions or comments? Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. My name is Erin McKenna. I work as a planner for the City of Stamford, and I've worked closely with the Stamford Harbor Management Commission over the last 11 years on projects that have been extremely generously funded by the Ship Grant Funding Program. We have been able to use about $5 million in funding, which has enabled us to revitalize the Cove Marina, to build a new boat ramp in West Beach. And right now we're doing final design on the Cummings Marina. So that's underway and going very well. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity to convey enormous gratitude and appreciation for the continued support that the Port Authority has shown the City of Stamford. And many, many thanks to Michael O'Connor and also to Finance Director Fayola Haynes, who has always been with us through the last 11 years. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Erin. Erin mentioned some very large grant amounts. And one of the things we realized this year was that by sponsoring very large grants amounts with very small grants amounts of money. You know, if we give one town $3.5 million, that kind of locks out everybody else if they want to do a $3.5 million project. If you only have $5 million to work with, this year's grant program was set up for a max grant dollar amount of $400,000. And that was a 50-50 matching grant, with the, implication that a lot of towns that had projects ready to go that immediately improved safety or improved water access or resiliency could very swiftly be applied for and implemented. And so we'll follow that same process in September. And then in future years, we'll adjust those parameters based on the funding available from the state. Anyone else online?
You can raise your hand on Zoom or put a comment in the chat and we will get to you in the order that we see you. If you are dialing in on the phone and you'd like to make a comment, you can press *6 to unmute yourself or *9 to raise your hand.
Jeff? Sure. You can.
It's a small venue, so that worked out well.
Thank you very much. My name is Jeff Stedman. I live in Norwalk, and I've had the good fortune to work for Connecticut towns for almost 40 years on harbor management and environmental projects, going back to the beginning of the Harbor Management Act, which was 1984. And without going into the history, it was introduced by our good friend, Senator Doc Gunther, who many of you may have known, but was a great man. And the intent of the act was to increase municipal authority with respect to the state decisions and federal decisions, but without usurping any of that authority. So now that there are 28 harbor management commissions that have been established in Connecticut, there are 26 harbor management plans in place. There are a number of plans that are in the process of being worked on, and last December, on behalf of a number of the harbor commissions, I spoke to the board to ask for the board's support for a legislative change to the Harbor Management Act or an amendment to the Harbor Management Act to address what we believe is a significant diminishment of municipal authority for harbor management. And that resulted from the 2021 court case that started in Greenwich. It's called Cohen versus Deep. And the result of that case, the Superior Court judge ruled that there's no legal authority for a Harbor Management Commission to review and comment to the DEEP on applications for state permits. That, in effect, invalidates all the harbor management plans, essentially all of them, which include the implementation responsibility of reviewing DEEP applications to DEEP and making comments. The other thing that court decision ruled is that DEEP doesn't have to listen to a recommendation of the Harbor Management Commission. It only has to listen to a recommendation that's spelled out ahead of time in the Harbor Management Plan, which of course is something that you can't have an answer to every project. And the issue, one of the issues is, this is contrary to what DEEP itself has approved in Harbor Management Plans. And I'll give you one example. The big railroad bridge project in Norwalk that the Harbor Commission reviewed for over 10 years. When it went to the public hearing process, and the Harbor Commission had spent, again, years, almost every day, writing recommendations and developing information, the hearing officer essentially didn't address the Harbor Commission's comments, referred back to the Cohen case, and said the Harbor Commission's comments are no different than the general public. That defeats the whole purpose of the harbor management legislation. So in the last few years, a volunteer group of harbor management commissions has proposed legislation to address this problem. In both times that this was done, the DEEP objected to it and misrepresented what we were asking for. The DEEP argued that we were trying to get veto power over DEEP decisions, which was completely untrue. So what we asked the board this year, and I say we, I'm speaking on behalf of the number of commissions that are part of our voluntary association of harbor management commissions, is to ask the board, the Port Authority Board, to facilitate a discussion, a fair and honest discussion with DEEP representatives to discuss this issue and to come up with a legislative change that will address this problem. So I hope we can follow up on that with you. And two other topics, and then I'll sit down. And I know, Aaron, there are other representatives from other towns that wish to express their appreciation for the SHIP grant program, and also for the work of, I'll say, the staff, everyone who works for the Port Authority, for being responsive and being willing to talk with everyone. I'll just mention Stamford, Fairfield, Stratford, New London, Norwich, and West Haven are towns that I know have given me permission to thank the Port Authority for the work you've done. And then with respect, the last topic, the dredging topic, and how to deal with this issue of unsuitable material and where to place it. The town of Greenwich has been working on a project for over 10 years. The material is unsuitable. There's planning for a CAD cell, but that still may be a ways away, and there's uncertainties about the non-federal cost share, how that's determined, who provides it, and then looking ahead also in Stamford Harbor, the planning for the Westcott Cove Channel, which leads to the Cummings Marina that's being restored with Port Authority funds. All of that material in the Westcott Cove Channel is contaminated or unsuitable as well. So the question is where to put that. And so I guess what I'm asking for, and then the other project in Western Connecticut is in the outer channel of Southport Harbor, which is a little bit more straightforward because the material is all suitable. But I guess we'd again ask for the Port Authority's assistance in trying to come up with a reasonable way of dealing with the unsuitable dredge material from these projects that are much delayed. And again, I apologize for taking so long, but certainly appreciate all of the help that you've provided. Thank you.
One applause. Thank you. So Jeff brought up a lot of interesting historical things that have gone on in Connecticut for for some time, all of which predates my operations on the Connecticut Port Authority. But what I will tell you is that there's a Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Commissioner designee on the board of directors for the Port Authority. That was Brian Thompson until he retired. I expect a new designee to get named. There's a change in deep commissioners going on right now. So by July 1st, somebody else will be acting in that capacity. So I assume that's a person that will be designating the person that sits on my board. And with change in leadership, there's always a opportunity to discuss things that have gone on or things that can be done to improve. I routinely ask everybody if they have any feedback for me on how the state does in certain areas, and permitting is certainly one of them. So a lot of people have comments about Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, but then when I ask for facts, a little light on names, dates, places, and times on where things are going wrong. So if you have feedback, I'll take it. I'll use it. We'll connect with the right people to resolve it, but I need to know the specifics of it. So that would be most helpful. Same with dredging. I continue to tell towns, let me know what your dredging needs are so we can make sure the Corps is actively working on those and tracking it. And then I'll hear that towns are working with the Corps, and I don't know who at the Corps they're working with. So I continue to tell people, engage us when you have a need for dredging, and we can make sure that the needs of that harbor are getting taken care of. I believe there's more efficient ways to dredge the state of Connecticut, and there's better ways to fund the dredging of the state of Connecticut, and there's better ways to prioritize the dredging and the funding of the needs of the state of Connecticut, all of which could be collaborated through the Connecticut Port Authority. So we're looking for opportunities in the future to do that. Other questions or comments? The maximum allowed for SHIP grants for municipalities is $400,000 at this time. Other questions or comments? Mr. Acting Chairperson, any closing comments?
Thank you, Michael. Personally, I just want to thank the staff. We don't do anything. They do. And they do it very effectively. And once in a while, they tell us what they're doing. But generally, they tell us what they've done. But truly, Michael, you and your staff, thank you very much. From the dollar holders to the people that talk and to the people that talk to don't talk. Thank you very much. Any other quick questions from people in the room or people online? No? Then I guess I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I? And do I have a second? And a second. All those in favor? Thank Bye. You very much, folks.
Bye.
Thank you again to the library for allowing us to mess up their day again.
Thank you.
Beautiful job.